Diary. Unity with the Father. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. October 31st, 1902. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. John 12, verse 42, 43. Jesus perfectly understood their hearts, and in a clear, distinct voice he cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." Verse 44. In these words, Christ speaks of his unity with his Father, and those who are commissioned by Christ to go forth in his name, to carry the message of truth to the world, will bear the same testimony. Those who are engaged in the work of the gospel ministry are to be respected. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Verses 46 to 50. Criticism and fault-finding. In this world, innocence is not a security against trial and unjust suffering caused by the misapprehension of men who place themselves on the judgment seat. The greater a man's influence for good, the more is he exposed to the envy and malice and hatred of men who, though they are supposed to be the friends of God, are false accusers of his workmen. Whenever they have opportunity, some give utterance to evil thoughts. They drop seeds of suspicion. Their words are as evil leaven, working in the minds of the hearers. The evil is passed from mind to mind. The accusations are repeated to others. A feeling of superiority takes possession of them, and they sit in judgment on their brethren. Those who are so ready to spread evil should seek to understand the character of the leaven they are putting in the minds of others. Those who are thought to be in wrong are often made the subjects of debate, and because of misunderstanding and false charges brought against them, are caused the keenest suffering. Their good deeds are blanketed, but their mistakes are freely and mercilessly criticized. Thus many are driven to discouragement. Satan fires men with a zeal that is not according to knowledge. They do not heed the instruction of Christ. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Matthew 18, verse 15. If he is reclaimed, if by the confession of sin a brother is gained, what a precious work has been accomplished. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verses 16, 17. Study the whole of this 18th chapter of Matthew. When Christ's instruction is fully carried out, there will be a different atmosphere in the family, in the school, and in the church. Christ took occasion to give this instruction at a time when there was a contention among his disciples as to which of the 12 should be first in authority in the kingdom of heaven. Christ knew perfectly well of their dispute, and he told them that every man will be called to account for his unkind words and for his harsh spirit that gendereth strife. And Jesus called the little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And whoso receiveth one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offences! For it must needs be that offences come. But woe to that man by whom the offence cometh! Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Verses 2, 3, 5 to 9. These particulars are more definitely stated in the 9th chapter of Mark.
He taught his disciples, and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. But after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down, and called the 12, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And he took a child, and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against me is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. Verses 31 to 42. These words are given as a warning to everyone who is tempted to injure or hinder in his work a servant of Christ, however humble that servant may be. Even though your brother does not precisely carry out your plans, you are not to forbid his working for the Master. Christ understood the tendency of the human heart to become exalted. He warned his disciples of the danger of being envious for high positions and for selfish authority to control others. The majesty of heaven stepped down from his royal throne, gave up his authority as commander in the heavenly courts, laid aside his kingly robe and crown, and clothed his divinity with humanity, that he might take on himself the weakness of human nature. This he did that he might give men an example of true humility. Only by living a sinless life, while clad in the garb of humanity, could Christ, as man's substitute and surety, bear the burden of the sin of a fallen world. He was to suffer, being tempted in all points upon which fallen men are tempted, that by his own experience he might become acquainted with the temptation of humanity and know how to succor those who are most severely tempted. Those who believe in Christ have joined themselves to him and have become members of his body, adopted into the heavenly family. They work with Christ and are owned and accepted by him. In doing his work as his servants, they are to wear his badge. A manifestation of his tender love is to be seen in their lives. To no man has God given the work of criticizing believers in Christ. Instead of hindering others in their work, the Christian is to be an example of helpfulness. Those who create disputes and introduce in the church the evil leaven of strife and dissension must answer to Christ for the evil results of their course. The human family is on trial. This is our time of probation. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12, verse 37. Our actions and our treatment of others will be brought into the judgment. Our conversation should be such as we would engage in were Christ present in person. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest thy trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 6. A call to repentance.
The past night, as I have seen the need of reformation among our brethren, I have felt a burden of distress and anguish. Many have been presented to me as men who do not understand their true spiritual condition. Spiritually blinded, they work according to their defective eyesight. They consider as an evidence of sharpness of sight their ability to discern the faults of others. They need to understand that they are not, as they suppose, being worked by the Spirit of God, but by another Spirit. They think that to them has been entrusted a great work, and they take upon themselves many responsibilities that God has not laid on them. Instead of being worked by the Holy Spirit, many, even among those engaged in the solemn work of God, are barring the way against its holy, life-giving influences. They freely criticize and judge their brethren, and yet they do not realize the necessity of earnestly looking into the divine mirror to see what spirit they themselves are manifesting. Their defects of character they regard as virtues and cling to them. They justify themselves in doing things which are positively forbidden by Christ. Let there be a work of reformation and repentance. Let all seek for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As with the disciples after the ascension of Christ, it may require several days of earnestly seeking God and putting away of sin. When God's people are worked by the Holy Spirit, they will manifest a zeal that is according to knowledge. When they are guided by the Spirit, they will no longer lead others in false paths. They will reflect the light that God has been giving for years. The spirit of criticism will be put away. Filled with the spirit of humility, they will be of one mind, united with one another and with Christ.